Well, good afternoon, friends, and thank you for joining us today for our Maundy Thursday service. So during this season of Lent, we have been embracing good enough lives and good enough selves that are worthy of love, no matter what. So in our worship today, commemorating the last night that Jesus spent in his community with his disciples, we see a supper in which Jesus showed his beloved friends and shows what blessing really means. Regardless, what in our lives do we dream about? For tomorrow, void of sorrow. Time spent regretting decisions of our yesterdays, mistakes that we've made. Sometimes we get what we get, do we not? Life disappoints us, and yet God is still here. And somehow, this faith is good enough. The mid-20th century brought a particular shift. As televangelists, now this was before the pandemic where everybody's a televangelist, began to speak of blessing as a pact in which with God, in which our good works, mostly our good wallets, would multiply the prosperity of our lives. But for Jesus, this moment in the upper room was full of trouble, danger, deception, and uncertainty. Surely Jesus, the Son of God, had enough blessing capital to outmaneuver this set of circumstance, did he not? In the midst of the pain of this moment, Jesus defines the real blessing pact as he washes his disciples' feet, as he breaks the bread, as he lifts the cup, sharing even with those who will betray him and deny him. In this moment of silence that we will take, taken the graceful invitation of Jesus to this table, no matter what. So I invite you to take a moment of silence as we reflect on, though we are just like the disciples, we too are invited to the table. Friends, hear this compassionate word. Love that cannot be quantified reminds us that each and every person is blessed. Always, regardless of who we are, how we failed, or what we've accomplished. Know that already God is offering us freedom from never feeling good enough, from all the blessings of life and faith, inviting us to love and to bless in the same way, indiscriminately and extravagantly. And know that despite our sometimes faltering steps, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are being forgiven even now. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. I now invite you to pass the peace of Christ with those around you. Our first reading for today is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear now these words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of things falsely against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, from the same way that they persecuted the prophets and who were before you." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we don't live in a culture of blessing. We live in a culture of hashtag blessed, if you like Twitter. So, partially nude bikini shot, hashtag blessed. Christmas card professional Photoshop, where everyone's looking at the camera at the same time, smiling, and in matching outfits, hashtag blessed. There we go. As Christians, we cross-stitch our blessings even on our pillows, hand-letter them on whimsical fonts, and maybe even get a tattoo on our body, forgetting perhaps that Jesus turned the idea of what makes us blessed upside down. His blessings should leave people wide-eyed and often filled with tears running down their cheeks. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when you're at the end of your rope. Blessed are you when you are exhausted and despairing, when tears are in your food morning and night, when your stomach grumbles and your mouth is dry. Blessed are you who forgives the person who never said sorry and definitely does not deserve your forgiveness. You who are ridiculed and humiliated, left out and left behind. The timid and the soft-spoken. The one who works for peace instead of the easy road of vengeance." So much of how we interpret these blessings depend on where we are sitting when we hear them. Maybe we're like the respected and applauded religious leaders in Jesus' time. We elbowed our way to the front row, or maybe we were ushered in by privilege and birthright. We say and we do the right things. Our righteousness is on full display on Instagram or Facebook. Our chest puffs up with pride with how well our lives have worked out. Our beautiful families, our comfortable bank account, our healthy bodies. These beatitudes should make us uncomfortable, because God is celebrating who we try so hard not to be, those who are dependent, needy, and desperate. These blessings will sound quite different, though, if you're in the back of the crowd, the one who barely feels like you belong in the first place, the one who's scared someone's going to find out you don't have it all together. Jesus often taught by taking something conceptual and comparing it to something concrete. For example, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. To his hearers who grew up in farms and fields, this would be tactile, not just intellectual. You would remember. And these blessings, Jesus is pulling examples from the very people listening in. Blessed are you even when you mourn the person you lost. Blessed are you when you are struggling to find hope. Blessed are you when there isn't enough food to feed your family. Jesus was looking into the eyes of those who felt like they were the misfits, and then used the everyday experiences of weeping, hungering, thirsting, and suffering as a badge of belonging. The left out would be welcomed with a warm embrace. The forgotten would not just be remembered, but honored. The ones who don't have it all together are actually the exact ones God is inviting into God's kingdom. In fact, the whole kingdom belongs to those who are on the edges. This is the upside-down kingdom directly available to all who don't have it together. Sometimes the only thing that's possible is to bless life's every present moment, especially the really hard ones. Blessing in these moments fall like summer rain over the driest times and places in our lives. And though a blessing feels counterintuitive in moments of grief and sorrow, that's when we need to be reminded of God's presence the most, and that God's kingdom is available even to us. The world looks a little strange from here, upside down, but that's how it's supposed to be, with our feet rooted in heaven. Now we have a reading from several of our people from our congregation for a blessing for when you don't feel hashtag blessed. So you'll hear several voices, and I invite you to just hear these words of blessing. Blessed am I when I strip away all the extra, when I see the world as it really is, broken, tender, fragile, beautiful. These are the same eyes that God sees in everything too. Blessed am I when I take the hard road, the winding one that doesn't opt for the shortcut of rage or resentment or unkind words, that doesn't pave over with trite niceties, but walks towards peacemaking. For I am God's kid. Blessed are we, the imperfect, and don't have it all together, God's beloved. Thank you all. Our second reading is from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, and then verses 31 through 35. Hear now these words. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter and said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Simon Peter said, "Lord, not just my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After Jesus had washed his feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, and you should do this as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." After Jesus had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will come look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say to you now, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So for a good enough step, we as blessing people, we love blessing people we find easy to love, do we not? The people who say thank you and are nice to us, those good neighbors, not the one Anne talked about, the hard-to-love neighbors, the good neighbors. But Jesus knew that night there were some who would betray him, and he washed their feet as well. Madeline L'Ange wrote this in her book, A Stone for a Pillow. These are her words. "We must bless without wanting to manipulate, without insisting that everything be straightened out right now, without insisting that our truth be known. This means simply turning whoever it is we need to bless over to God, knowing that God's powerful love will do what our own feeble love cannot do. I wouldn't have suggested that it's a good practice to believe in six impossible things every morning before breakfast. It's also important to bless six people I don't like before breakfast." So now I invite you to try this. So if you're comfortable, close your eyes and bring to mind six people. Maybe that's too many for you. Maybe you need more. You can make it up to 12 if you need, who rub you the wrong way. Those people who get under your skin, as my father would say, who get your goat, right? They can push all your buttons, who have made your life less than easy or that you struggle to like at all. Take your time. Do you see those six people before you in your mind? So now I invite you to imagine yourself across a water basin from them. Imagine washing each of their feet. Imagine blessing them, even and especially if you don't want to. Take a few moments to visualize this. When you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes. I invite you to try this every morning. Maybe it's six different people, but who are those people who you're invited to bless? A beautiful blessing we find in Numbers chapter 6, and you can always use this one when you can't think of anything else to say. "So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Now I invite you to join with me as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we come to the Great Thanksgiving, I'm going to use a prompt. I know I usually go off script, so bear with me as we use some holy words today. So we remember that God created this world so full of beauty and sorrow and called it good and even called it enough. And though at times we feel lost, you, God, are ever present. We doubt, we resist, we turn away, and we rage, insistent on our own power to pull us through. And yet, we are sure that we are to blame, making life seem like a confusing paradox. But you, God, are patient. You, God, are here to meet us, to reside with us in strange and alienating times, always faithful, always present, in this body and in this body. Through the life and ministry of Jesus, we can imagine and live into a community where all who struggle are taken into loving arms, and those who struggle to love are invited into greater compassion. On the night in which Jesus gathered with his disciples, he took the bread that was on the table. He gave thanks to you, God. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." As the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we remember, and we offer ourselves, and we proclaim God's time. So God, we ask for you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the fruit and the bread of the vine. Make them be for us a blessing of our days, love for simple and ordinary lives, fuel for justice in this world. God, by your Spirit, open us to one another, open us to the world, making us one in you through Christ and the power of your amazing Spirit. Amen. This time I'm going to invite those who are helping to serve to come up. We will take communion by intinction, so you'll be given a piece of bread to dip into the cup. I do have gluten-free elements available if you'd like. You are invited to stay as long as you'd like and leave in silence after our final reading from the Gospel of Luke. Hear now this reading from Luke 22, verses 39 through 53. Jesus came out, and was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down onto the ground. When Jesus got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. Jesus said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" One of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple police and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."